appreciate your patience, parents, and those of you that interact with me. You guys have been very patient as we're moving through this season of transition. Like in rafting, we're going through those rapids, but we're going to come out the other side. And when we get into the new space and it's decked out the way we like it and the way it needs to be to help reach a generation, y'all are really going to like it. Amen, everybody? And I would like to acknowledge, where's the guy? I told the youth, everybody stay home. I've got painting to do and I don't want to be bothered. And I'll be doggone if Eric and Zach and their brand new buddy showed up. And then Haley came and ministered to the girls that showed up. To gave her my credit card, run up, go get a pizza and minister to them. Haley, would you stand? And Eric and Zach and Seth, would you stand and acknowledge them? Those guys can paint. And apparently they can eat pizza because we had a lot of pizza delivered. And have you ever seen a piece of steak tri-tip thrown into a bunch of piranhas? I still have teeth marks. And last, before we get started this morning, really am honored to stand in this pulpit. Pastor Cedric, thank you for the invitation. It is an honor to stand in this pulpit. We are very blessed to have such a man of quality. And Pastor Luann and Pastor Cedric as the mother and the father, the spiritual mother and father of this house. Amen. You know, I look forward to being in here the times where we're not dismissed. His messages are structured. His messages take deep and complex truths and break them down into bite-sized pieces that you and I can meditate on during the week. And we can go from glory to glory. We can allow the grace of God and His Word to wash us, because very complex things are broken down into simple things we can grasp and understand. That takes a lot of time, energy, and effort. And we're very blessed to have our beloved pastor lead us in this church. Would you please thank Pastor Cedric? Just listening to his messages, you can ascertain very quickly. He is very accomplished. He has studied. He knows what he's saying. And he brings us a word that will change our lives. I hope this morning you will indulge a slightly different style. You know, I was trained back, you know, in my college years. I sat under a guy named Dr. Threet, and he was just mean. And he trained us in kind of classic Reformed theology. I mean, it's interesting. We would sit under his teaching. He's like, I don't care if you're here or not. I'm going to give you deep theology. And he taught us good theology, taught us the word. He smoked a pipe while he taught the word, really weird. And so my style's a little bit different. I'm not so quite good at encapsulating things into points. You know, I've never really finished a message. This message you're going to hear today kind of started 20 years ago, and it'll just keep right on going. So I hope that you will indulge a different style this morning. Would that be okay, everybody?
Yeah.
All right, and if you guys will stay off Facebook, I will too. And let's go and see what the Word says for us today. There's two kind of truths, in my opinion, that help us align ourselves with the things that God is doing. There are truths that sit on the surface. They're easy. We look at them. They're very easy to apply. You know, the best example would be maybe Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus. They were believers. They were Christians. And they're very simple truths that lay on the top of the surface. If you look at Ephesians 4, don't bother turning there. I'm just starting there. But these truths sit on the surface. Verse 25, stop telling lies. Okay. And don't let the sun go down while you're in a bad mood. Okay. And if you're a thief, if taking office supplies or a drink from the can, the soda from the refrigerator at work is kind of your thing, we'll cut that out. Get rid of all angerness. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't let there be a hint of sexual immorality. Now, these are simple truths, and they skim across the surface. Once we're exposed to them, then we apply them to our lives, and they help bring us into alignment with the way God would have us live, the expression of our Christian faith. Does that make sense, everybody? There's another kind of truth that is a Holy Spirit revelatory truth, meaning it's not quite so obvious. It doesn't sit on the surface, but it takes a little bit of digging to see what God is saying in that truth, and once we discover it, put it in its historical and contextual context, then you and I can grab it and allow that to operate in our lives as well. It's kind of like a parable. A parable is a story. It's a great story. The kingdom of heaven is like that parking lot over there and blah, 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 blah. And then underneath that parable is the truth that God wants us to walk in. Are you with me on that, everyone? Mm-hmm. Yes, amen?
Yes.
Don't get quiet on me. This ain't a funeral home. Please feel free to shout at any time. I can work with that. If y'all get quiet, it makes me nervous. So this morning, we're going to go after a verse. Some of you may get mad at me. That's okay. I was raised fundamental Baptist, and I got exposed to the Holy Spirit, got filled with the Spirit. I am as charismatic as it gets. I believe in speaking in tongues, shouting. If you feel want to run up down the aisle, that's fine. Just be consistent. Do it at the bank tomorrow and do it at Kmart on the next day. Because some people act weird in church and then they try to, you know, at least be consistent. This morning I'm going to go after a verse that has been so terribly mistranslated and so terribly taken out of context that it is absolutely useless. And it has to do you believe in anointing with oil? Absolutely. I have been anointed. I will anoint you. I will dump this over your head and hope for the best. But we're going to go after something that has been a charismatic mantra for so long, but it's been so taken out of context and so warped, we've gotten it wrong. Consequently, the church has suffered because we have taken this verse and really messed it up. All right, are you ready? Do you want to know what it is? Well, I'm not telling you till later. As our jumping point, as our starting point this morning, that was my introduction. Y'all are in for the long haul. And Pastor has such a good sense of humor, too. Have you ever noticed that about him? I can't tell a joke. I'll try. Everybody say knock, knock.
Knock.
Who's there?
I don't know.
I can't tell jokes, so don't expect any, because you're not going to get them. As our jumping off point this morning, we're going to start, flip over, don't bother, I'll just let you know, I think there's a slide up behind. What is the will of God? It's not rocket science. The will of God is super easy. First of all, he came to seek and save that which is lost. His will is to bring people in darkness into the light of his glorious grace and truth. His will is that people are to be saved and taken out of darkness and put into the light of his presence. Is there a slide on that one, Adam? Did I do a slide on? I thought I did that. There you go. Well, not exactly, but close enough. All right. So we know that that is the will of God. God's will is for people to be saved. Not rocket science. His will is for you and I to be conduits of his grace into a world that needs the light brought into it. Once we get that out of the way, what is the will of God for you and I to live out our Christian faith? Aha, glad you asked. 1 John chapter 1, verse 17 says, if you and I are living, present active verb, if you and I are living in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses all of our sin. The deep truth that is underneath that verse, and it's funny because it was said, twice today already in church, is the word alignment. If you don't think alignment is important, let's see what happens to your transmission in your car when it's out of alignment and you try to drive home. Amen? Alignment is important. God's desire is to bring you and I into alignment with his plan, purpose, his will for your life, and that you and I would have an alignment of sweet fellowship one with another. Alignment and order. God is bringing us into alignment. Now, the measure of alignment that you and I are in with the purposes, plan, and will of God, and the amount of alignment that you and I are enjoying with our fellowship that you and I have one with another, let me put it this way. The relationship you have with God changes whether or not you are in alignment with his will, plan, and purpose. Let me illustrate. This is what I mean by this. Make sure I say it correctly. I love my daughter, my sweet little lamb chops. Around our house, give her a little bath, down the little naked toddler goes running around the house. I'm the dinosaur, I'm the velociraptor. We run around the house in a figure eight. We have a great time. I love my daughter. We were at the mall a couple weeks ago. We go up the escalator at Crate and Barrel. She thinks that's the funnest thing in the world. Up the escalator, down the escalator, up the escalator, down the escalator. We have so much fun. And then I said, time to go. I'm not one of these parents that count to 10. Here, my idea of counting to 10 is 10. 1, 1.5, 2, 9 3/4. Are you kidding me? 10. So, you know, when I put out my hand, that is code language for stop what you're doing and come to dad. So we went up the escalator, down the escalator, now it was time to go. She stomped her foot. Now, y'all laugh, but you and I are the same way. We just... Last time I'm going to be asked to preach, right? Yeah, it's all... We're good so far. She stomped her foot. My love for her did not change at all. But let me tell you, my relationship with her changed in that moment. Because I couldn't be the loving dad that chased her around and was having fun with her and all that. I had to be the dad that brought correction and adjustment and bring her will into alignment with my will. You wonder why sometimes you and I go through what we go through? It is because God is bringing our will, our thoughts, our ideas into alignment with what He's doing. Why we want to go on the escalator of our great ideas. Maybe that's not a great idea. Maybe that's a stronghold that's trying to root itself into your life. And God has to say, oh, I love you so much. One. Can you hear the Holy Spirit say, you are so not going, you go to three, it's all over, okay? So the will of God is for you and I to be in alignment with His will, alignment with His purposes, alignment with what He wants for us at that moment in our lives. Are you with me on that, everybody? All right, His love for us doesn't change, but man, the way He deals with you and I changes dependent upon if we are out of alignment or in alignment with what it is that He is doing. Every time you and I come to the house of the Lord, we're taking one step towards being in alignment. When you open up your Bible and read His Word and put Facebook down and Instagram down, you are taking one step towards being in alignment. I am insatiably curious because I love to know how things work. I love that there are deep spiritual truths, and underneath those things are very natural processes that drive the works, the working of the Spirit and how the Holy Spirit's working. Sometimes they're very natural things underneath. It's interesting that today's message ended up being when we're taking the heart for the house offering. Why? Why do we keep coming to church all the time? I mean, we're saved, are we not? Assuming everybody in the room is right with Jesus. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, I'll tell you why. Did you get in the shower this morning?
Yeah.
Did you get in the shower yesterday?
Yeah.
Are you going to get in the shower tomorrow?
Yeah.
I mean, after all, you took a shower 3 weeks ago. You should be good to go, right? His word, God, He loves His house. He loves the koinonia, the sweet fellowship of the saints. You and I need to come into alignment. So let's talk about coming into alignment just for a minute. The ministry of Jesus in Acts chapter 10. Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do good works and to do what? Set the captives
free.
Four of you? Set the captives
free.
Free. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, proclaiming the good news to the poor, proclaiming freedom to the captives, recovering sight of the blind, and setting liberty, freedom to those who are oppressed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is? There's what?
Freedom.
Freedom. Okay, so now we naturally ask ourselves a question. Freedom from what? Well, freedom from the bondage of sin and death, correct? We've accepted Christ. He pulls us out of darkness and He puts the light of His glorious grace in us, and we become free. You know, people, Jesus saved my soul. Jesus didn't save your soul. He breathed life into your spirit, and your spirit that was dead, your spirit is now alive in Christ. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Jesus did not die to make bad people good. He died to make dead people live.
Yeah.
So your spirit has been set free, and our spirit is over here saying, I'm free. The problem with you and I and me is our soul can still be a mess.
Amen.
Am I the only one?
No.
It is our soul that needs a little bit of work. And thankfully, the Lord says, I am faithful to complete the work. Now, we can do this one of two ways. You can come willingly and be a part of the house of the Lord and have people speak into your life, and I will work with you to clean you up, or you can go unwillingly, kicking and screaming through broken glass. Either way, you're going to get cleaned up and your soul is going to be set free. Your soul will prosper as your spirit prospers. Are you with me on that, everybody? How many has ever been dragged through the broken glass? One way or the other, the Holy Spirit will get a hold of you and align things to take off the hard edges. Are y'all with me on this? Are you getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
I mean, I've noticed a long time ago, the key indicator, well, sports builds your character. Sports doesn't reveal your, it doesn't build your character, it reveals your character. It reveals. The person that cut you off on the road coming to church was sent by the Holy Spirit to show you exactly where you're at. That was the Holy Spirit driving that car, and you gave him some interesting fingers on your way to church. Shame on you. I would love to say that everybody who has had their spirit washed and regenerated, their spirit is free. I would love to say, see, God is working to bring our souls and our behaviors into alignment with our spirit that's been set free. Because we all need a little piece of work. Let's just be honest. Can we be honest here, Pastor? Can I be honest? I'm good for next year. Church is not for the faint of heart. We get all weird with each other. I expect people to be weird in church. Because we're a hospital for sinners and not for, it's not a country club for saints. That's a nice expression to say until you get in the middle of somebody who's so dysfunctional you want to gouge their eyes out in Bible study. We are supposed to be a little bit of a mess. Because the mess is what God takes the mess and he begins to clean it up. So when people come into the church with their dysfunctions and strongholds and all that stuff, it's because God brought them here so that they could be worked on. And yet, we can't judge them. Well, did you see the way they acted? They're a mess. They're doing this. They're doing that. Well, of course, it's how church works. This whole romantic notion that we all have white robes on and blonde hair and we're perfect and, oh, praise the Lord all the time. Are you kidding me? I've been doing this for 24, 26 years. I don't anoint myself with that. I drink that. Are y'all with me on this? My Bible tells me, Galatians 6, those of you that are spiritual, restore those that have made a mess gently, considering yourself, lest you do the same thing. People are going to come into the church that are a train wreck. That's what the church is for. So it doesn't shock me when people do unchristian, ungodly, unrighteous. You did that. Oh, are you? It's it. Hello, this is where you're. And then you fix it and get it and move forward. Good. I like this. Work with me, Elaine. Come on up here and cheer me on. It's all good. Girl. All right. So let's just spend a minute. This pulpit is really on my nerves. You go away. All right. If we have fellowship one with another, if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with the Lord and we have fellowship with one another. So let's take a minute and talk about the soulish things that prevent that from happening, right? The heartbeat of God is that you and I are emotionally healthy. There's a health. How it's supposed to work is the longer you're in the body of Christ, the more you become, you know, that broken glass, if you hold on to it, oh, it cuts you. If you hold on to it slices your bleeding. You know, you and I are like that when we're just getting saved and God's cleaning us up. We're just rough around the edges, and it's hard to hold on to that friendship sometimes. Because you get hurt. You know what I'm saying? Some of us are just still a little rough around the edges, but God is polishing, cleaning up. The ultimate goal is God wants to make you and I healthy. Okay? Emotionally healthy. Mentally healthy. There's health that God wants us. You know, there's some people, you know, along this journey. Let's take our journey from the attic down into the basement. There's folks that are emotionally healthy. Then there's some folks that they're just quirky. That's the stuff when you're at a funeral and they say, Ed was so fun. He loved garage sales. He loved Michael W. Smith. He could paint. It's just quirky. Now, you still have a great relationship with these folks. They're just kind of, you know, they just have some quirks, some preferences that they really like. All right, there's quirky. Have you ever met some folks that are just plain awkward? Now, there's the two kinds of awkward. There's awkward, and they know that they're awkward. And that's adorable. They're awkward. It's like being perpetually in an elevator with them. You know, you get in the elevator. What do I say? I don't know. Most of the awkward people I know are the most adorable, wonderful people. They have a heart. They're wonderful. Eric. Eric Vasile, he's partly quirky, he's partly awkward. Quirky, awkward. He's a quirky duck. I'm not supposed to have favorites, but he's one of my favorites. All right, I'll tell you, this guy and that guy can paint. Some of us in this room are quirky, and that's okay. Some of us, you know, you're a little awkward, and I'm awkward, and you're awkward, and this, you know, you're awkward, and you know it, and that's fun. Embrace your awkwardness. It's amazing. Then there's those poor souls that are awkward, and they don't know they're awkward. They get invited to less parties than you and I do. Okay? Are you with me on that, everybody? Now, where we get into trouble are this down here. This is where God's redemptive grace is working. We have to be patient with these people because they're not enemies of the cross. They're not enemies that are on assignment to get us and wound us all. They're just a mess, and God's cleaning them up. There are people that are just plain annoying. Their personal preferences get under your skin. Now, these poor souls, they don't get invited to as many parties as the healthy people do and as the slightly quirky people do and the slightly awkward people do. They get invited to a lot of their sweet fellowship, and everyone seems to get along, and there's conversation, and there's laughter, and there's friendship, and there's fellowship. People that are just plain annoying and have a lot of annoyingness to them do get invited to they don't enjoy as much sweet fellowship as the rest of us do because, quite frankly, they're annoying. Be honest. You know there's some people that get under your skin. Some of you think I'm annoying.
Why are you looking at me?
Embrace the horror. Now, this is where God grants the grace of long-suffering. Because you don't need long-suffering to deal with strangers. You go into the bank, you give the money, the check, they give you the money. They never get under your skin. They don't annoy you. Strangers, the person that rings you up at the counter, they don't get under your skin. Those are such simple relationships. You need long-suffering because at some point, every relationship you have is going to annoy you at some point. And you need long-suffering to apply to that little part of them that annoys you so you can still continue to enjoy the sweet fellowship. Because if you and I cut off everything, once that person annoys you, well, it annoys me the length of his preaching. Ed starts preaching. He didn't shut up till the movie started Sunday night. Well, you're going to cut me off, but you can say, you know, I love Ed, and I'm going to receive from him, and he might be a little long and in the back row. But you and I, at some point, will do something that annoys everybody in our circle because we're close enough to that person to manage through their quirks and through a little awkward. And just once you're annoying, you apply long suffering and you still enjoy the sweet fellowship. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
If you don't apply long suffering to your relationships, you'll run out of friends real quick. And you say, oh, I'm right with God. Yeah, but you don't have any friends. We all need long. I need you to be long suffering with me because I can be annoying, I can be quirky. I can annoy you, and you need to apply long-suffering to me as I do to you and we all do to each other. Here's where really it's fun to see the God's grace working, but it can be painful. There are some people that we move in emotional health, and some people that are just a little quirky, and you know, some people a little bit annoying, it's all good, and then there are those that, you know, we have to apply long-suffering because they're annoying. But here's where it gets to be a challenge, and it's hard to enjoy the relationships this way. These are people that just have issues. I had somebody in my car, Pastor Cedric. I don't think I told you this. I had somebody in my car from work. Now, this is the same person. Names are going to be changed to protect the innocent. We're recording this, so it's all going to be changed. But these are true stories. Somebody was in my car. We were driving to an appointment, And this person was bragging. Well, I was on the church softball team last night, and this there wasn't enough players, and they asked me to be in charge, and I cursed them out. I dropped this word and this word. I dropped this word. Now, I can get it if you can say, well, I dropped some bad language, and I felt bad, and I apologized. Okay, that's fine. I can work with that. But to be proud of the fact, and this is actually what this person said. Actually what they said. They said, if you cross me, I'm going to let you have it and call you every name in the book. Whoa. Honey, you got issues. And you want to lead the prayer meeting? And you want to be the first to pray at the radio station and pray for Jesus? You might, but you might cuss me out on the journey to doing that. Now, I can still love you and I can respect that and I don't judge your Christianity, but I'll tell you, if you're proud of the fact, you get on my kid, exact words were said, you cross me, I'll curse you out. Honey, you got issues. Do you think that person, I'm going to allow them into my most intimate space? I love you. You're great. I'll work with you. But I'm going to keep you over here. And that's affecting our sweet fellowship because all we do now is to talk superficial. How are you? How's the weather? That's nice. Kids okay? Good. If you got issues in your life, it is important for you to allow the workings of the Holy Spirit to begin to clean you up on the inside. Because if you walk around with issues and issues and issues and I'm embracing my issues, well, that's fine. You're getting invited to less parties. You can't enjoy the sweet fellowship of the saints and the things that God has put in other people to pour into you. You're not going to get that because you're so busy offending everybody with your issues. We have some family friends of ours. Know the true story? Every time we invite this couple out, this is so bugging me now. Every time they invite us to a party, we go to support the party. We're doing this. We go. We invite them. The last 6 or 7 times we have invited them to our house or invited them into our circle, 30 minutes before the gathering, we get a text, I'm not coming, have a good time. So now I'm with a choice. I can either sit them down and say, I just need you to know, every time we invite you, the gentleman is always willing to show up, it's a control power play. You come to my house because I'm throwing the party, but if you do something, I'm not going to support it because you want me to. Oh, really? Okay. So now one of two things has happened. Either I'm going to sit down with this couple and say, for us to move forward, I need you to stop this because it's really annoying and it's an issue. Or if it's not that important, I just a little more distance. And maybe I'll see you next year. Maybe I won't see you at all. Good luck. God bless you. I love you in Jesus, but I don't have to drink from that well. Are you with me on that, everybody? Yeah. So you and I walking around with issues, we got to let the Holy Spirit work on those issues so that we can get invited to more parties. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. Finally, and you wonder what issues are what issues are. I mean, I say that humorously, but issues really are rooted in strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is an ungodly belief that is contrary to God's word that you will defend more than you defend the word of God. People that believe something ungodly will defend it. Mm-hmm. Well, can you show me that in the Word? Well, I just feel like it's okay. Well, since when did your feelings and you line up your feelings against this? But strongholds, if you really define what an issue is, an issue is an ungodly belief that is rooted and then defended and fortified. People tend to defend their strongholds more than they will defend the truth. And strongholds need to be broken and break every chain. Finally, the last two. So you can bad enough you've got some issues. I mean, I can actually work with issues. But y'all know some folks that just have some dysfunctions going on in their lives? There are some things that root themselves into your personality because of an early life trauma, early life exposure, and it gets integrated into your personality. And it is a dysfunction. Now, the fun thing about dysfunctions, can I tell you a secret? Everybody else sees your dysfunction but you. That's the fun thing about dysfunctions. If you have a dysfunction operating in your life, you typically don't know that it's there because dysfunctions feel normal to you. But everybody else sees it. For my dysfunctions I had going on in my life, I had no clue I was an enabler. But everybody else knew. I was operating in rejection the majority of my life. If I called you and you didn't call me back, oh, I wonder if they're mad. Literally, I would panic. Are you mad? Are you upset with me? Did I do something to offend you? Please. I used to walk in that. I used to be in bondage to rejection. Controlling people that operate in fear. Underneath all the goodness, there's a terrible sense of fear. And because they don't want to be afraid, they try to control everything. That's a dysfunction. Abandonment issues, addictive behaviors. People that are believing, you can go down the list, people that don't have any boundaries at all in their lives, they'll just come up all into your space and all that. Those are dysfunctions that God wants to heal us and set us free from. Amen? All right. And then the last thing is, we'll just leave it over here. There are some folks that are toxic. And the Bible says don't be friends with someone that has an angry spirit, because it's like a cold, you can catch it. And so there are some folks. We served in a situation. A new spiritual leader came into the last church, and I sat down and had lunch, and within about 8 minutes I said, oh no, this person is toxic. I cannot drink from that well. We resign. And we backed that truck up real quick. So, are y'all getting anything out of this morning?
Yeah.
All right, so how do you and I get free from this? All right, here's where we're going to go after it. How are we doing on time? Pastor, we good? About 8-10 minutes left?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, how do you and I get free from this? Well, we're going to have a Holy Ghost service. I'm going to anoint you with His oil right here, and you're going to get set free. I mean, after all, Isaiah 10 says, it shall come to pass on that day that the burden, the dysfunction, the issues, those things that bring us out of alignment with God's people and things that bring us out of alignment with God's desire for you and I to be free, it shall be taken away from the yoke shall be taken off the shoulder, the yoke from around the neck, the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. Thank you. The anointing breaks the yoke. What is a yoke? A yoke is a big old heavy piece of wood. An ox is a big old animal. When the ground is hard, you put a plow in the ground. Now you can't push that plow, and what you do, you have to yoke an ox. And that yoke becomes a beast of burden. It's in bondage to the yoke. Now you got a 3,000 to 5,000 pound ox that is controlled by a little piece of wood. Do you know how that ox gets into bondage to that piece of wood? For the same reason we do youth ministry. Because you would take a big ox and then you would take a little calf and you would yoke that calf while it's young so that it can be controlled easily when it's older. Some of us, our spirit is alive and free in Jesus, and yet our soul might be, or you and I might run across folks that are yoked to something they were exposed to when they were younger, and God's desires for them to be free.
Amen.
So let's talk about this for a minute. If I put, I've been in services. I'm as charismatic as it gets. I get tempted to run up and down the aisles just like you do. I've been in services where I have been anointed. Jesus was anointed to preach good news and to heal the sick and set the captives free. The word anointing is used about 150 times in Scripture. The word anointing means to splatter with a liquid. I believe in anointing. I anoint people. I have been anointed. I will anoint myself. When I'm praying for, we did some prayer, some ministry. Pastor Cedric, we did some ministry in the multi-purpose room. A friend of mine was going through a hard time, and for 4 hours, 2 hours, 1 week, 2 hours, he repented of his sins, and we prayed and did repentance and deliverance. We anointed with oil. We had communion. We anointed again. I mean, we went through half a bottle with this case. I believe in the anointing with oil, but I can tell you this, putting a drop of that on your forehead isn't going to set you free from bondages and issues and all that. Can I tell you what will do it?
Yes.
Now I'll tell you. The actual translation There were some translation challenges with that verse. And I double dog dare you to go home and prove me wrong. The actual translation to this says, when it comes to pass in that day, the burden of bondage, dysfunctions, issues shall be broken off of your neck. The yoke shall be destroyed because you are fat. That is actually what that verse is correctly translated as. The anointing of God is good and it's awesome. We need to be anointed. We need His presence in our lives. But this verse in Isaiah actually says the yoke is broken off of the neck because you have grown fat. Well, what does that mean? Have you ever seen a sick animal? Scrawny, ribs showing, sickly. But a healthy animal has been fattened up, ready for the feast. Becoming healthy breaks the yoke of bondage and dysfunction and issues off of your neck.
Amen.
It is in our best interest to allow God's anointing, if you will, His grace, His goodness, all the good things that God is doing in our lives. When you and I become healthy emotionally, if we have been toxic, or maybe we have some dysfunctions because we got exposed to some stuff in our past, or some abandonment issues, or rejection issues, or controlling issues, or all that, or dysfunctions, and maybe there's some issues going on in our lives, God is saying to you and I, that yoke is ripped off of you when you become fat enough, when you become healthy enough, those things naturally burst off of you because you're on the journey to getting emotionally healthy.
Amen. Amen.
Well, how does that happen? Now, here's where we'll close it out with this. How does that happen? Because, well, if we say the anointing with oil breaks the yoke, then it puts everything on a spiritual leader to pray for you and slather you with oil, and then you're going to be free. But the actual way that this works is a longer process, and it requires a little effort. Kim, do you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. You and I had Kim come into the... I would love to tell you, poof, alakazam, woo, I'm healthy. Come hang out with me. Not likely. I had dysfunctions going on in my life. Abandonment, rejection, fear of man. I could go on. And then my compassion easily turned into enabling. I was the biggest enabler you have ever met. It was hard on my wife. It was hard on my friends. I was such an enabler in the name of Jesus, trying to be helpful. I thank God today. I might have my stuff, but God has done such a work in me. I'm getting there.
Yes.
But it didn't take overnight, and it didn't because somebody prayed for me. Pastor, pray for me. Slap some Crisco oil on my face, and woo, I'm healed. Oh, no. Four quick things. First, if you're going to get free, you have to have an authentic, genuine relationship with Jesus. Jesus made it clear. He said, my yoke is easy. My yoke is light. It is okay to be yoked to Jesus. It is not okay to be yoked to your dysfunctions and then call them normal and wonder why you don't get invited to parties. John 8:31. I say unto you, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin, but the servant doesn't live in the house forever, but the Son lives forever. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. So have hope, no matter where you are in the spectrum. If you're pretty healthy or you're a bit of a mess or anywhere in between, you're in the process of being set free. How do I know that? Because you're here.
Amen.
Watch this. Number one, have an authentic relationship with Jesus. Number two, super easy, genuinely repent. Allow God to expose the things to you that need worked on. My friend, I prayed for him 4 hours. We prayed 2 hours one night, 2 hours 2 weeks later is what we did. And he told me, he said, I've been in church all my life, but I was a slave to sin. I'm actually born again now. Because we do this. Well, come forward and just give your heart to Jesus, say a 30-second prayer, and I'll poof. Where's the repentance? I mean, it's nice to say, come forward, and all you got to do is say yes to Jesus. And that's a great start. Jesus is knocking at the door of your life, and you can say, hello, Jesus, yeah. But at some point, you have to get on your knees and say, I really have to repent of what I know and what my mind has blocked out because of trauma or whatever. But repentance is required for an authentic relationship with Jesus. And if you said, yes, Jesus, come in my heart, and you've not repented, take some time and allow that truth to work through. You and I have to say, yes to Jesus, yes, and I repent of my sins. Put the light and show the heart, the corners and the hidden stuff. Because let's be honest, you and I, we all can hide. Am I the only one?
No.
I hid for years. I know what it's like to hide. I have a black belt in hiding. Now I have a black belt in telling on myself. Go figure. Number three is very simple. Pastor Cedric, I hope you don't mind. Come into an authentic relationship with your pastor. I've been doing this for 24 years. We love our pastor. Oh, he's so funny. He's so wonderful. Until he sits you down and says, stop that. It's funny because we're friends. But there's part of me, I don't want Cedric as my friend. Here's what I mean, and he knows what, you know what I mean. I need him in my life, not to be my buddy, to go to the movies. I need him to say, Ed, this I see in your life. I need him to be an instrument of truth, grace, prayer, kindness, encouragement. But I need him to tell me if I'm off track. I have buddies I can go to the movies with. I need him to fulfill a role in my life, which is to hear from God, to see things in me that I'm not aware of, and for him to have the courage to not be afraid, I'm going to run away, I'm going to be offended, quit the church. Ooh. No, I need him to speak truth to me.
Amen.
You don't need Pastor Cedric to go to the movies with you. You need him to come up into your life and say, I love you, you're great, you've been flaky. Stop it. It's not good for you. It's like going to the doctor. I don't want to be friends with my doctor. I want my doctor to look at me and say, cough. And we're not going to the movies after that.
That's an over 40 joke.
If you're over 40, you'll get that. He's crying on the front row. I am so in trouble. Are y'all with me on that? There are people that fulfill roles in your life. You don't need him to be your buddy. And it's a tragedy. People commit spiritual abortions, if you will, because the pastor will finally look at someone in the eye and say, this is not good for you. I have a word for you, and begin to speak it. Well, I'm just going to be offended and go to another church. Well, you know what? The process just started all over again for you. Back to go. You did so good. You were making progress. You went from go. You passed the cheap properties. You rounded the do not go to jail. You're on the purple properties, and you get offended. You're nighty in and out with somebody. And now you're starting at a new church where, oh, here I am. Praise the Lord. It's on my resume. And now you're back to zero. And you'll get offended at that church and have to start all over again. He needs to be an instrument of truth and not be worried about our feelings. Go to the movies with somebody else. His closest friends should be other senior pastors, not you and not me. Is that okay? Are we good? Okay. I didn't run that by him, but it's true. I'm friendly to the teens, partly friends. We have great relationships. We're close. We talk. I'm one with them. I'm not one of them.
Amen.
Finally, and I'll close with this. You want to be free?
Yes.
No, seriously, do you want to be free? Well, come on forward. For $8, I'll slather you with some oil. You know why I have a heart for the house? I'll tell you why. I have a heart for the house because it is the mechanics of God's delivery system that gets people out of bondages and dysfunctions. Does it happen overnight? No, it does not. I'll close with this. Do we have the slide, Adam, of the rock tumbler? Did I send you that? No? Okay. I think I do. This is one of those polished rocks. It's very smooth, smooth to the touch. Do you think this happened overnight?
No.
Oh, no. See, like you and I, ugh, that's awful. Ugh. It's Starbucks, what do you expect? It's like somebody goes and works out and you take the socks off, you dip them in warm water and squeeze. That's about, I'm telling you, Pete's Coffee. That's how you know if you're going to heaven. They hand you a Pete's Coffee, you're good. They hand you a Starbucks, I'd start sweating. This stone, if I may, and I say this humorously, but this stone is very smooth. If you have gone to a store and bought the polished glass or the polished stones, do you know how those got to be polished? I'll give you the super short version. It takes about 930 hours. They'll take a hard stone that has rough edges, like you and I have rough edges, and I would love to tell you that they put that stone into a tumbler and tumble it, but you know what they do? They take that rough stone that's hard to hold on to because it has jagged, or let's say glass. You grab that glass and you might cut yourself and it's a little toxic, a little dysfunctional, ow, 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 and they throw it in a tumbler with a bunch of other pieces of glass. They'll take a bunch of rocks that are unpolished, unusable, a total mess, and they'll throw them all in this tumbler. They'll add silicone, which makes this gray, sloppy, slurry, and a little bit of water, and they'll turn it on. Tumble, 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 Sunday, 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 Wednesday, 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 left, 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 right, 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 I've got it! Woo! You're taking notes, aren't you? I got it. And then they'll stop the process after about 40 hours and they'll drain the slurry because it's really gross. It's got some of that stuff and the gray slop, and then they'll wash it with the water. And it'll be beautiful. And then you know what they'll do? They'll stick it back in the tumbler with smoother silicone. Sunday, Wednesday, 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 Sunday, Wednesday. Worship practice, concert, concert, ride your bike, world missions, world baseball game, youth group. And then they'll dump that back out. And it's even messier. The gray is sloppier and gooier and all that. But if you notice, a lot of the hard edges are gone. Well, at what point did the hard edges go away? I don't know, because the thing's been tumbling for 500 hours. Do you think you're going to come to church and the mess that you were and are and the mess that I am, and do you think after one Sunday of somebody spraying you with a can of Pam and you're going to walk out delivered? Put a logo on that. I'll make an investment. Let's make some money. Oh, sorry, wait, there are people that do that. Very bad. No, no. Miracle oil, $9.95. How are we doing on our house payment, honey? New house, you come on, $8, I'll slather you, you'll be good. Good Lord. They'll take those same glass stones or the rocks. You'd think after 500 hours it would be done, right? Oh no. Back in it goes with finer silicone because there's multiple levels of silicone. And again, doom, 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 hour after hour and week after week and Sunday after Sunday. About 900 hours, you can Google this if you want, 900 hours later, after four rounds of slurry and four rounds of silicone and constantly being washed, you get a beautiful, polished stone that will reflect light. And you wonder why we come to church week after week after week. You wonder why, well, I'm saved, I'm born again, I got Jesus in my heart, I get it, the songs, we do this, and Cedricton preach, we do that, and the video announcement every week. Yeah, you know what? Imagine the stone that sits in that tumbler week after week. I'm done tumbling. I've been tumbling for 500 services. I've been tumbling. Yeah, you want to pull yourself out of that? Fine, but you're still going to have rough edges. You're still going to have issues and some dysfunctions. The people, why do I have a heart for the house? Why the love for the local assembly? I don't care what we do on a Sunday morning. If we came here and the sound system was off and all we could do is play a kazoo and have some lunch together, it is the fact that you and I rub up against each other. You guys, you have offenses with you and you get mad at me. You get annoyed with me and then you have to apply long suffering. And do you think God's going to teach you humility? Poof, you're humble. You want to be humble? Offend somebody and then own it. I didn't call Kim back last week. She was going to do the huge barbecue for us. You said, hey, let's do it another day. She called me. I was driving to church. She said, you never called me. I said, you're right. I didn't. Now, if I had issues, well, the devil made me not call you. It was the planets lined up and my phone didn't work and all this lies and nonsense. Oh, no, to own your stuff. First thing out of my mouth, I am so sorry. I didn't call you back. It didn't even occur to me. Please, what did I say? Did I not say, please forgive me? Now, it's humorous, and she forgave me. Kim is so gracious. But I moved in humility because I had failed her. My life brushed up against her life, and I had to be polished. And how did that polishing happen? Because I failed her, and I had to be, I brushed up against her, and I owed her an apology. And she was gracious enough, the grace of God, to offer a free pardon. Polished her. You and I get misunderstandings with each other. I'm going to be mad and quit the church. Cut it out. Church is a messy place. It's supposed to be slurry. It's supposed to be a place that is for the thick of skin and the tough of skin, because it is the interactions of you and I brushing up against each other and the slurry of God's beautiful grace that marinates all of us together in the good times and in the bad times, when it's 150 people and when it's all six of us. If I may, people that aren't regular church attenders have their issues a whole lot longer. Say that again. Yes, they do. People that get set free from their dysfunctions, toxicity, and issues and strongholds are the people that say, I have a commitment to the house of the Lord. I have a heart for the house, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to prioritize my life, and my $8 an hour job isn't going to pull me out of the house. I don't know when my healing happened, but I do know that somewhere along the journey of being tumbled in with God's people, I'm a little more humble than I used to be. I'm a little more honest than I used to be. I'm a little more not enabling like I used to be. I'm not as angry as I used to be. Why? I don't know when, just somewhere along the tumbling of Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday and group after group, somehow God's grace changed me to reflect His glory. And I'm not what I'm supposed to be yet, but I'm not over there anymore. And you don't have to be there either. I can't tell you when you're going to get set free, but I can tell you it is the week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, giving after giving, serving after serving. And you want to go to really last thing and I'm all done. And sister, come, girl, come on back up. We're going to play some stuff real quick. I can't tell you when this occurs because for everybody it's different. But people that come to church once a month, twice a month, it takes you twice as long to get set free. I'm sorry to tell you that.
Amen.
You, little $8 an hour job. I'll pay you if you're off. If they offer you $8 to go to work, I'll pay you that $8 to come to church. Come on now. Heart for the house. The house is the instrument God uses to change you and I into His glory, into reflection of His glory. That's why it's important. Why else would the church exist? It's koinonia. It's a friend. You think God cares if you and I sit around and eat sandwiches together? He cares that our lives rub up against each other. And God's grace, His glory is manifested, reflected in you and I. You talk about the anointing? To be anointed was to be anointed for consecration and anointed for service. That's why number four, we serve. Have a heart for the house. That means showing up. It means serving. It means forgiving somebody. It means restoring somebody that is irritated. Are you with me on that, everybody? We can't judge the people that come in the door that are a mess because we're still a mess too. We restore them gently, considering ourselves, lest we do the same thing. I'm wondering today as I turn this service over to Pastor, what I think would be amazing is a new season. It is the year of Abib. It is the year of refreshing anew. It's time to have a real heart for the house, because the house is the instrument that God is using to change you and I into His glory. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. Friends, thank you. What a privilege. Pastor Cedric.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ed. Well, in just a moment, our amazing greeter team is going to be passing the offering bags down the aisle. And this is the time when we also turn in our connection cards. And also, again, you've got two envelopes, one for your regular tithe, and then the other for the Heart for the House one-time special offering. For those of you that use our online MoGive situation, you can do that online as well. But I want to go ahead and pray for this time and pray for all of our hearts as we prepare to give this morning before we close our service. If you guys would bow your heads. Father God, we thank you so much for today. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house, Lord. Lord God, I know that it's not a coincidence that we're here. And so, Father, I just pray that you will continue, that you will finish the work that you've started in all of us today. Lord God, we pray that you will move in our hearts, Lord, that you will help our hearts to line up completely with you in every way, including the area of generosity. We ask for your blessing as we give to you. We ask, God, that as a church, that we would be a blessing to our community and to all those that are in need. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.